Right, turn back in your Bible to the book of Job, chapter 29, as we continue on and looking at these six chapters that Job is responding really for the last time to his friends. It started in chapter 26, and it will go all the way to chapter 31 until Elihu, who is the human author that wrote the words down for the book of Job, will actually take over, and he will speak for a number of chapters before the Lord shows up. And so we're in the middle of what Job is just kind of giving out his last hurrah as far as his arguments and laying things out. And this chapter is just like, that's why I entitled it, The Glory Days. He's reflecting back. Remember, he's obviously gone through a lot. You get some indication of how long this is going on in this chapter. As he talks about months have passed by, you know, and looking at this, which is interesting to note. But he's going back, and it's like really looking at the glory days. Oh, I wish it was like in this certain time. We're going to come through here and look at that. I'm sure we've all, you know, experienced that, especially us that are older here, that we think about going back in the day, you know, especially always like the kid, the generation that's coming up now. It's like, well, in my day, you know, we were tougher and all this other stuff, you know. And of course, you know, my dad would say, well, in my day, you know, we did this, this, that, and the other. You know, when I went to school, we didn't even have heat in our bus, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And I remember some of my stories my dad tells me, you know. And, you know, true, though, sometimes it definitely had it harder than what we had and so forth and so on. But this is what we see with Job. He's going back and it's like, man, I wish it was like in days past. And look at this, because we're basically laying out 3 points where he's reflecting back in the first 10 verses which were read, and then, you know, how he was refreshing to other people. I mean, he was the man. He was the guy. And then obviously well respected, verses 18 to 25, and you see that respect actually coming through all this chapter. But it is an amazing chapter. It's a chapter that we're going to see that Job is a picture of Christ in his glory. And when we look at next week in chapter 30, we're going to see how things are now, and we're going to get a picture of Christ and dealing with him being crucified on the cross. You know, so that's the doctrinal thing that we're going to see between chapters 29 and 30. And so right now we're living the glory days. But for us, what I want to try to communicate this morning is, it's not looking at what we're going to see in Job and looking at all how it was in, you know, years past. But the things that we see in Job's life as he's coming through and recounting how it was are things that I see that we need to have in our lives right now. To be able, as we look at this year, as far as our being able to be a comfort to others and being able to share the truth of the Word of God with others, it's like, in spite of how we feel or what circumstances we may go through, we still need to be doing the things that you see that Job is laying out here in chapter 29, of where we're literally just ministering the truth of the Word of God, that we're there to help others out along the way. And really that is what this chapter is all about. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started in what we need to see today in this chapter. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for today. I thank you for your Word. I thank you for this time, Lord. I pray that you would help me to be able to literally just be used of you, that you would help me to be the Lord's messenger in this message, as I've seen in the book of Habakkuk. And Lord, I pray, actually, Haggai. And Lord, I just pray that you would take over and just that you would speak to us, that your Word would illuminate the things that we need to see in our lives, that we would be better for it as we come through this chapter. Lord, help us to understand what you have to teach us, each individually as well as collectively as a church. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's pick it up. Chapter 29, starting in verse 1. It says, "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said." Now, again, this is something that we've already seen. If you were to go back with me real quickly to just verse, or not verse, but chapter 27 and verse 1. All right, and we see that same thing where he's continuing this parable. You might understand that word from Jesus teaching in parables. But it says this, "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said," and again, chapter 27, and he lays out the things that are there. We're talking about a parable. We're talking about something that is a good story that's teaching truth, but at the same time, Jesus Christ talked about a parable not only revealing truth to his disciples, but also hiding the truth from those who didn't want to believe. And so really, that's what a parable or a proverb is dealing with. But I want to give you one other reference before we move on, because obviously we have a lot to cover. I want you to go to Psalm 78, and we're going to look at the first 4 verses there. Psalm 78, we see that word parable mentioned again, and kind of gives you some more information around that word and what it's all about. And again, I think sets the tone of what we need to be able to do in our day and age of being able to lay out the truth of the Word of God. And on Psalm 78, starting in verse 1, it says this, in the Psalm of Asaph, it says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done." So you see literally that they are passing down the truth that was received from them, from their fathers, to the next generation. And that's exactly what we need to be doing today, continuing to pass down the truth of the Word of God. All right, it's the same thing as like 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. I'm not asking you to turn there. I know most of you you know it, you haven't memorized, but that's what we need to be doing, that we're able to take the truth of the Word of God, specifically the doctrine that's given to us by Paul, and to be able to teach faithful men, and to be able to teach others also. It's generation after generation of teaching the truth and laying out a parable, and laying out the truth of the Word of God. Now let's go back to Job 29 and continue on and see what Job is saying in his parable. All right, we'll pick it up from verse 1, continue on. It says, "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, Oh, that I were as in months past, in the days when God preserved me." All right, and so we know this, that God allowed Satan to be able to have at Job. Obviously, he was preserved. I mean, that's one of the things that Satan said. It's like, oh, he got a hedge of protection around Job and all that he has. God allowed that to go away for Satan to be able to have at him. So, I mean, Job understands and recognizes at least that fact, that he is not being preserved like he was before in times past, in the days past. He goes on in verse 3 and it says, "When his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness." I mean, he understood that. I mean, obviously there was dark times, but it didn't matter because God's light was there to allow him to walk through the darkness. Well, that is no different than us today. I mean, our light comes from the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And that's the thing that we need to understand. When we walk in this world, it is dark. We understand that, and it's getting darker by the day. It's like, I would love to go a day without hearing about a police officer being shot, killed, or you know, something like that. It seems like it's almost a daily occurrence that's happening. And just some of the things and protests and people getting killed and so forth. I mean, it's not getting better. It's only getting worse. It's only getting darker. But that's okay. As believers in Christ, we have a light of the Word of God that as we walk, it lights up our path. And that's what Job is talking about. It's like, man, I remember in days past that, you know, I was able to walk through darkness because of the light that God has given me. I do want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. I think I referenced this a week or so ago, but I want to go back there. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, because again, it's a reminder of our lives that we have in Christ, that we are able to walk and we should walk by the light that God has given us as believers in Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, it says this, "For we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light." God gives us the light to walk by. Our problem is that we don't utilize that light. We don't utilize the Word of God to be able to help us to go through the darkness, as Job is talking about. That's where the problem gets into Christians today, that we don't utilize the very light that we have. I can't talk about this without mentioning Kurt's flashlight. You know, that is the sun. All right, you know, we're at KC Bible Church as a charge or retreat, and we had some game of the night game, and you know, so each team was able to have a flashlight. Well, Kurt's team, his flashlight basically is a little less than the sun. All right, it was this light that just lit up the whole camp. I mean, it was something else. All right. But it's like, it cut through the darkness with no problem. All right? Well, that's the Word of God. In these dark spiritual times that we're in, it's like we have got to walk according to the light that's given us, which is the Word of God. He's given us that light. Now, let's go back to Job 29 and continue on. We'll pick it up again in verse 4 now. It says this. It says, "As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. So now he's talking about again. He's laying out that, again, obviously that man, in days past, before all this calamity happened, things were really good. And he talks about how the secret of God was upon his tabernacle. He had, well, what's that all about? I mean, the secret of God and secrets are throughout the Bible, but I want you to check out just a couple of references real quick. I want you to go back to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means repetition of the law. I want you to go to Deuteronomy 29, down in verse 29. Deuteronomy 29, 29. How to get a reference that's 29 in it, because Trish and I have been married for 29 years. You see what I did there? Is that like smooth or what? All right. Here we go. Deuteronomy 29 in verse 29 says this: "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." You see, there's the secret of God. I mean, there's His Word, but what happens is that God reveals His secrets to His people so they're able to teach their children. It's the same aspect of teaching the truth of the Word of God and passing it down from generation to generation. And we see the same thing in our doctrine, really, today. I want you to go to Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. Had to get a 16 reference in there because we were married on August 16th. See what I did there? I mean, am I smooth or what? I like... Here, I digress. Romans chapter 16, down in verse 25, it says this. It says, "Now to Him that is of power to establish you..." That word "establish" is not "establish." "Establish" is to strengthen that which has already been laid out for you, which you've already received. All right? And that's what our relationship with the Lord is all about, growing in that. So it says, "Now to Him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel," the gospel of grace that was given to Paul by the Lord Jesus Christ, "and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." This was something that from the beginning of the world God had in mind to be able to give. This doctrine, this dispensation of grace. But it was secret until He revealed it to Paul, and Paul was revealing it to us. And guess what our job is today? Reveal the same thing. To preach the gospel of grace and the dispensation of grace. That is our doctrine. Romans through Philemon. That's what we're supposed to be laying out. That mystery that God has given us. That the seven mysteries we talked about last year as we came through, and specifically we were focused on doctrine as we came through Titus and 2 Timothy last year, and looking at the mysteries that was given to us. That's what we're supposed to be revealing and teaching people in the Word. Let's go back to Job 29. Job 29. And says again from verse 4, it says, "As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me." Again, obviously we remember from chapter 1, his 10 kids were killed at once. And again, he's remembering back, and what a pleasant time it is to be able to have your children around you. I mean, I couldn't have thought this thing in a million years, because it's nice to have my son here. I am the smoothest preacher today, I'm telling you. I'm acknowledging my marriage for 29 years. I'm acknowledging my son being down here. But it's obviously great. It's a great time to be able to spend together with your family, you know. And that's where Job is talking about. It's like, man, I wish I was in months past and days past when all these things were seeming to going really well in my life. I had my kids about me and so forth. Now, I'm gonna be honest with you with verse 6. I have no clue what that's all about. Verse 6. "When I washed my steps with butter." Or I don't know what that's all about. I don't know. I've never tried it. It didn't even cross my mind to go to the refrigerator and take, I don't know if it's salted butter or unsalted butter that he spread on his feet. So, I mean, it seems like he was slip and fall. I have no clue what that's all about. I'm just going to tell you that right now. All right? I don't know. But the thought of dealing with verse 6, because it also talks about, "And the rock poured me out rivers of oil." All right? What we're dealing with is obviously, I think that just Job is referring to the blessings that he had in his life and everything going well. All right? You know, maybe, I don't know how hard it is to get butter, especially back in those days. I don't know if that was a tough task, but maybe he was so plentiful in everything that he had butter to burn, in the sense of, I'm going to put it on my feet and walk about. I don't know what that even does. All right, again, I don't know. When we talk about oil coming out of the rock, now that's something that there's some significance there. When you think about the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, oil being a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, I mean, obviously, Job is recounting that he was blessed in days past, all right? And that's what he's kind of laying out here. We move on in verse 7. It says, when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street. And this starts dealing with, again, the prominence that he had. And we start talking about the seat in the street and at the gate. We're talking like this is where business was done in the city. It's kind of like the city hall of what was going on. And obviously he had great prominence and respect, as we will see. He goes on in verse 8. It says, the young men saw me and hid themselves. And the aged arose and stood up. Now, you got to understand what's going on here. I mean, a great sign of respect, and we'll deal with that by the end of the chapter even more so. But it's like the presence of Job is so incredible that he goes out to the gates of the city, and his seat is there, prepared there. It's like the young people's like, I'm out of here. I don't, you know, I'm kind of afraid of Job. And then the older men, they stood up. You see, and normally that would not take place. Because you would stand up, you would have respect as a younger for the elder. But when you have the elder stand up, it's a sign and show of respect. I'm standing up for Job. I mean, we have it in our culture today, obviously, in a sense of like, ugly, you know, when the you have the national anthem and everything like that. What do? We don't, not supposed to sit there. We stand up. A sign of respect, all right? Again, you know, somebody that is of some prominence or whatever, they come into the room, you acknowledge that, you stand up, you greet them. It's a sign of respect. Job had great respect, and remember, he is a young man. Remember, his friends, we've already seen in the book of Job, his friends said, hey, Job, you need to be quiet and listen to me, in a sense, because we are much older than your father. So Job's a young man. And so when he's talking about the glory days in the past, he says when he went to the city gates and he's there and the seat is there, the older people, the men, the aged stood up as a sign of respect, and the younger hid themselves. He goes on and says in verse 9, the princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. I mean, again, like I said, we really see this respect go through this whole chapter. But I also want you to see that Job literally is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in His glory. Right? The princes stop talking. Job is coming. Elders are standing up. You got young ones hiding themselves. And the princes, you know, princes, they rule. They're part of the ruling class. You think, well, they don't have to stop talking. They're princes. All right, maybe they're lying to be the king or something like that. Job shows up, they stop talking. Because they want to hear what Job has to say. It's not about what they have to say. He goes on in verse 10 to finish off his point. It says, the nobles held their peace, and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. Again, all the world, all those that would be in charge of what's going on in the land that they're living in, when Job showed up, they stood up and shut up. That's the kind of respect that Job had. They were waiting to hear for him. What they had to say is not important. We want to hear from Job. What Job has to say. I want to listen to him. Show him due respect. That is the kind of man Job was. Again, going way back to chapter 1 in a testimony that God gave of Job, that he was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil, and he held on to his integrity even after all these things that happened to him. I mean, he's an incredible, incredible guy. You know, people talk about, you know, I got a guy. I know a guy. Got something wrong, whatever. Oh, I got a guy. I got a guy. Job is that guy. No matter what it is, no matter what the situation is, Job is the man. Job has the answer. Job knows what to do. I need to listen to him. Well, again, he's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that everything that we see with Job right now, just so far in this chapter? Isn't that everything really that should be in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Respect for him? That's why when we do the scripture reading, what do? We stand up out of respect of God's word. God is speaking to us. It's not a matter of what I need to say. It's like, let me hear what you are telling me, God. Let me spend the time in just listening to your word, giving due respect for who he is and what he has done, what he is doing in our life. We get into the next point in dealing with Job being refreshing and how he, again, deals with people. Notice verse 11 says this: when the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. When Job came into the room and people saw it, they acknowledged that. They want to make sure that Job did that. It reminds me of days when, in our crying in Canada, and Cente Soroka, he's the father of Canadian cry. He's the one that is responsible for the country of Canada today having cry. Right? He is nationally recognized as the father of Canadian cry. Right? And obviously he passed away. It's gone on. It'll be like 5 years, I think, now. Coming up in this October. There's that, we're working out and everything like that, before class or something like that. And then when, we call him O Sensei, great teacher, is what that means. Alright? Truly a master. He's a 10th degree black belt. Alright? When he came into the dojo, the training hall, stop what we're doing. We bow to him. That's part of that culture. We shake his hand and we, make sure he's doing okay. It's just like that was Sensei. He was owed that respect. Right? Well, what about our Lord Jesus Christ? All right? You think about how we honor people of great prominence or in positions or in authority or whatever like that. What about our Lord? When we are going to stop to listen to him and bless him, thank you, Lord. Bless you. Praise God for what you've shown me, what you've told me in your word. Man, Job was well respected. And they acknowledge the things that he said unto them. He goes on in verse 12. It says this: because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him, the blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. He's refreshing. He's able to, again, help those that are in a bad situation. And it's no different than what we've already seen. Go back to chapter 26 again. Job chapter 26, I'm looking at the first four verses. Those are those six questions, if you remember, that were laid out. He says this: but Job answered and said, how hast thou helped him that is without power? How savest thou the arm that hath no strength? How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? And how hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? To whom hast thou uttered words, and whose spirit came from thee? You see, those six questions that are laid out that are questions that we still should be thinking about and meditating on. How are we doing these things? How are we accomplishing those things? And we come right back to it now in chapter 29 in Job, and as he's going back to the glory years and the times that everything was going really, really well, it's like he was able to be refreshing to other people. He was able to share truth with other people to help them along the way, that the widow's heart would sing for joy. We read through things like that, but you stop to think about the woman that lost her husband would be sad. Obviously. But spending time with Job, that widow is now singing with joy. Why? Because of the words he's able to give her. He ministers the truth of the Word of God to others. The same thing that we should be doing today in people's lives. As God gives us open doors and opportunities to share the truth, we need to be ready to do that and to be of such character that people would want to listen to what we have to say. A lot of times people, it's not going to be an excuse before God, but they use it as an excuse, and it's something that we need to take note of. Oh, I'm not going to church. I don't care about Christianity because they're a bunch of hypocrites. And how many times we've got to say, I can see where they're coming from. Don't let that Let's not let our lives be an excuse for somebody else to reject the truth of the Word of God. Let us be of such character that the things that we are talking about are the things that we live. That's why Job had that respect. That's why people were ready to listen to him, because his life backed what he was saying. But we move on. In verse 14, it says, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was a robe and a diadem. Verse 14 is such a key verse in understanding, again, that in this chapter, Job is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. He's got the robe on. He's got a crown, a diadem, and he puts on righteousness. Well, this is no different than what we need to do on a daily basis. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. We don't have any righteousness of ourselves. We know that. But if Isaiah talks about all of our righteousness, it's filthy rags. All right. I mean, there's nothing that in and of ourselves we can do that is right, that's going to be right with God, in a sense, because of our sinful nature. But we are righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ. I've referenced this before, but I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. I'm going to remind you of this, that Jesus Christ, He is our righteousness. There's four things that are laid out in this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Job put on righteousness. It's like we need to. The moment we get saved, we are made righteous because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to see this is something that's a daily occurrence that we need to make sure that we have our gospel clothes on, in a sense, our spiritual clothes on, that we're ready to minister. Not that we need to get saved every day. Once you're saved, you're saved. But practically, we need to walk in that on a daily basis. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, it says this, But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And those four things laid out, obviously, specifically, we're concerned about the righteousness right now as we're going through Job. To put on righteousness. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. How to be right. How to be just. But in a practical aspect of this, I mean, let's go over to Ephesians, since we're close in the neighborhood. Ephesians chapter 4, I want you to look at verses 22 to 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. Whole idea, putting off the old man and putting on the new. All right, something that is a daily occurrence that we need to do. I mean, every one of us, you know, we get up and we get cleaned up and we put on clothes. All right, and get ready for the day to go about, do what we need to do. All right, well, spiritually, we need to be doing the same thing. Ephesians chapter 4, and you pick it up in verse 22, it says this, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, that your nature, your sinful nature. That, I mean, we're still in these bodies, we still have to walk around them, but we need to put it off concerning these things, not to do things according to the old man, our sinful nature. It says, why? Because which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That happens as you spend time in the Word of God. Verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We need to put on righteousness. You know, it's something that we need to do on a daily basis. Put off the old, renew the mind, put on the new. That is something that needs to happen every day. Every day. You know, for me, I'm a two shower a day guy. You shower in the morning, shower in the evening. If I have a big workout in the afternoon or something like that, and sometimes there's days that it's a three-shower day. All right? I mean, it's something that it's a daily thing. It's something that happens every day. All right? I don't go a day without taking a shower. All right? Like I said, usually most of the time twice a day. Spiritually speaking, what are we doing? Are we getting showered up every day? Are we putting off the old? Are we renewing the mind every day? Are you getting into the Word? Are you putting on the new man? That needs to happen daily. All right? It's not something that is just, you know, it's good every once in a while, once a week, whatever. No, every day. Every day that needs to take place. It has to take place. Because if you don't, living in this world, in this dark world, how are you going to walk by the light of the Lord if you're not in the light of the Lord? If you're not walking in the Word and putting on righteousness, if you're not putting on the new man, getting your mind renewed, because this world, I'm telling you, it'll grate on you. You start thinking that way. I mean, you know what? It is easy to be a Christian. I was a pastor that all I did was come to church and preach and teach, you know, Sundays, Wednesdays, and at home I'm, you know, studying and stuff like that, and I never deal with the world in a sense. I mean, that can be easy. But you know what? What the challenge is working in this world, when you're around people that are obviously not believers in Christ, the things that they say, the things that they do, if I am not renewing my mind on a daily basis and putting on righteousness on a daily basis, guess what's going to start happening? I'm just going to start looking like the world. Instead of putting off the old man, I'm going to be just living in the old man, even though I'm a believer in Christ. See, practically, we need to put on righteousness every day, practically. That we have this judgment. If we go back to Job chapter 29 again, in verse 14, I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was a robe and a diadem. All right? Putting on the new man on a daily basis. We move on. Job says this, I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. Are we that to people? Eyes to the blind. I mean, Job set a course for people. And we'll see that even at the end of this chapter. Right? He lays out a course for people. He says, in this verse, I am eyes to the blind. He helps the blind people to be able to get about, to see what they need to do. Are we doing that in the lives of the people that we work with? Family members? People in our neighborhood? Acquaintances that we have? Whatever. Are we being eyes to the blind? Those who are spiritually blind, are we trying to show them what they need to see? Those who are lame, have a problem with their walk, are we helping them? Yeah, working at a casino, especially when I was in security, it's like every once in a while, almost on a weekly basis, somebody falls. You have an older person there, they fall. They try to sit down in the seat, they miss, they fall. They get up, whatever, they fall. And we're there to help them up again, make sure they're okay, make sure they have everything they need. Do they need medical attention? So forth and so on. You know, because they have problems. Sometimes I remember standing at the podium, and you see, this is kind of comical. He was over here by the wall, kind of getting his bearings, you know. And then all of a sudden, he goes, like, okay, I'm going to make it to the casino. So he starts walking. And I'm trying not to look at him, because I'm like, if I look at him, I know he's going to fall. that's how feeble he seemed like. It's like, I try not to look at him, but I'm so curious, because it's like, watching a trainer, he's getting ready to happen. You know, he walked. And then I think he noticed me looking at him, he stopped. He's right there. Then I kind of look away, he started walking again. It's like, I know this guy, and he never fell. He never did. But spiritually speaking, we have people around us in our lives that they're like that old man. They're lame, trying to walk. Because they're trying to walk according to the world instead of walking according to the truth of the Word of God. How are we feet to the lame? How are we helping them to have a real walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? How are we helping blind people to be able to see truth? That's what Job is recounting back. It's like, man, this is what I'm doing with people. The glory days. He goes on. Verse 16. I was a father to the poor. And the cause which I knew not, I searched out. Again, he was meeting people's needs no matter what it is. He was helping them. He was comforting them no matter what the trouble or tribulation is. Does that remind you of something? Our vision for this year? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We'll look at that here at the end of our time in this chapter. But again, you know, being able to comfort somebody in any trouble. Man, that was Job. Like I said, if there's a guy that you needed to know, Job was that guy. He was the guy. And he said, for the cause which he knew not, what did he do? Well, tough luck. God bless you in that. No, he searched it out. He wanted to help. That reminds me of a verse that I memorized, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Studying out the things in the word of God takes work. That's what that verse says. There's some things that it takes work. It doesn't come just easy or overnight or whatever. It takes work. And Job was willing to put the work in to be able to help somebody out. He searched it out. So I don't have the answer. Job's like, I don't have the answer now, but let me get back to you. I will get back to you. Let me search it out. Let me find out what the answer is, and I'll get back with you. That's Job. Everything he could to be a help. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, again, with Christ, obviously, he's not knowing something. He's all-knowing. But he's ready to take care of any problem and every problem that we have. So what do we need to do? We need to spend time with him. You see, the people that Job is laying out here, as he's coming to the city gate, and there's the princes and the noble, they're speaking, and there's the elders there. You know, it's interesting that the young men hide themselves, but what are the elders? They stand up and they shut up. They're ready to hear from Job. Are we going to be like that? When the Lord teaches us in the Word of God, are we ready to stand up, to get the respect, and to shut up, to be able to listen to Him speak to us? Are we going to be like the young men in Job talked about, ran and hide themselves? Who were the first people that hid themselves? Who was the first people in the Bible to play hide and seek? Adam and Eve. Heard the voice of the Lord God walking. That would be the Word. The voice of the Lord God walking. Think about that for a while. The Word of God is walking through the garden. So Adam and Eve hears the voice of the Lord God walking. What do they do? They hide themselves. Why do they hide themselves? Because they had sinned. And they did not want to be around the Word. Job is a picture of Christ here. When he comes to the gate, the place to do business, and it's like you got some young people, they're hiding somewhere. Why are they hiding? They need to be under the voice of Job and hearing his wisdom and getting, and you see that there's people there that obviously do that. Where are we at in all this? Are we going to be hiding from the Word? I don't want to spend time in the Word. Or are we going to respect our Lord that saved us? Lay our hand upon our mouth. Sometimes I'm literally, it's like, it almost seems like, man, Pastor, I can't believe you're getting ready to say. Stop praying and listen to God. Stop praying. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't ever pray. That's obviously not what I'm saying here. The problem is, when all people do is pray and they never lay their hand upon their mouth to actually listen to God to get the answer. Job, he searched it out. He was ready to fight the battles for them. Look at verse 17. And I break the jaws of the wicked and pluck the spoil out of his teeth. He's ready to go to battle. All right, this is Job. All right, this is, I mean, he's well respected. I mean, again, remember, God said that he was perfect and upright, fear God and shoot evil. He dealt with the wicked. He dealt with the evil. I mean, he got their spoil out of their mouth because the wicked is taking something that doesn't belong to them. And he's like, I'm going to get that back for you. Man, Job was a guy. He was a man. That's why he's so well respected. As we get into verse 18 to the end here, it says, then I said, I shall die in my nest and I shall multiply my days as the sand. I mean, he's thinking and understanding that, man, I'm going to live for a long, 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 long time. He's doing everything right. Now, honestly, it's like complete opposite of what he said in Job chapter 3. He's ready to die, wish he's never been born because of everything that he's going through. But again, he's reflecting on the glory days when everything was going well. He's like, man, I'm going to have a long life ahead of me. That's what he's saying here. He goes on in verse 19, it says, my root was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay all night upon my branch. This is something that was part of my own devotion that I had this morning as I'm coming through. I'm in the Gospel of Luke now, and read chapters 5 and 6 today, and just in chapter 6, of just looking at what kind of fruit am I bearing. And Job was, again, always being prosperous and renewing. Matter of fact, you go on to verse 20, it says, my glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. I mean, just everything was prospering for Job. He's bearing fruit. He's like again, we talk about my roots. Obviously, you think of a tree was spread out by the waters. It had the source to be able to bear fruit. And of course, water is a picture of the Word of God. All right, I want you to jump over to me with me real quick to Psalm 1. I mean, I know you're familiar with it, but Psalm 1 verses 1 to 3. Psalm 1. I mean, again, this should be us. It's like almost an image that Job is a tree of life. And we talked about that Jesus Christ dying on the cross, he becomes a tree of life. Because Adam and Eve picked the wrong tree, they lost right to the tree of life. And that's why Jesus Christ comes and he dies on a tree, dies on the cross. He becomes the tree of life. But a tree that's going to be able to bear fruit. Well, that's what we need to be. All right, we need to have this water source of the Word of God to be able to be a help to people. In Psalm 1, it says this, starting at verse 1 to 3, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, but sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." That is the key for verse 3. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Why? Why is he like a tree that's never going to fade, never going to wilt out, never always going to be bearing fruit and everything like that? Why? Because meditating in the Word of God day and night. Listening to what the Lord has to say in his Word. See, it's not hard. It's not hard to be a fruitful Christian. It's not hard to be a Christian that has a rich relationship with the Lord. It's not hard. It's not. It's not some complicated math problem. It's not some thesis that you got to be able to get together or anything. It's not hard. The issue is just doing it. Spend time in the Word. And spend time in prayer. My thing is, let me spend time in the Word and hear God first. And then let me talk to Him. Then I can have more of an intelligent conversation. At least try to, because I listen to Him in the Word. If you go back to Job, chapter 29, verse 21, "Unto me men gave ear, and waited, and kept silence at my counsel." Have you ever had people ask you for advice, and then you start to give them that advice, and then they still keep on talking? They're not really wanting an answer. They just want to gripe, blame, whatever. Job says, man, people listened to my counsel. All right? Again, the respect that they had for him. All right? You look at this, and it just reminds me of somebody else. I want you to go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Just like Job was a man. You want to understand what you need to do in your life? Talk to Job. He had the light. He had the truth. He had the words of God. All right? I need to be quiet because what I have to say is not important. Job, let me hear you. Let me hear your counsel. Well, we have somebody like that for our dispensation that we need to listen to. Now, obviously, our salvation and everything is through the Lord Jesus Christ, and understand that. But God has given us the Apostle Paul. He has communicated the doctrine for us through Paul. And notice what God allows Paul to write, that is the Word of God, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." Paul's not asking them to do something that he's not doing himself. And the result of doing that, it says, "And the God of peace shall be with you." It doesn't mean that you're not going to have trying circumstances. It doesn't mean that you're not going to go through dark times. It doesn't mean that you're never going to have any problems or trials or tribulations. It doesn't mean that. But what it does mean, that you'll have peace through it all. Why? Because you're doing what the Word of God tells you to do. And God has given us the example of Paul and how to follow Jesus Christ in our time period today. It's not worshiping Paul, alright? It's worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. God uses Paul and the doctrine communicated through Paul to show us what we need to do in our world today. Just like they listened to Job's counsel, we need to listen to the Word of God given to us through the Apostle Paul. And hopefully that we can be that example to other people as well. Let's go back to Job. Job chapter 29, picking it up in verse 22. Again, the respect that they had for Job. After my words, they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them. I mean, you get the picture of this? I mean, all of a sudden, you know, Job gets up and gets ready, you know, he does what he does, he's going out, he's doing the sacrifices for his kids, you know, making sure that everything is okay there, his relationship with his kids, make sure they hadn't cursed God secretly in their heart or something like that. You know, he's spending time in the Word of God. It's like, well, man, I'm going to have a breakfast, you know, and so forth and so on. I might as well put some butter on my feet, you know, help me walk up to the city gate. You know, and he's out there and he goes there. He's in the city gate. You know, you got the princes, you got the nobles, you got the older men, they're talking and they're hashing things out, they're discussing things, and hey, did you see the Chiefs football game last night? Yeah, they're terrible, you know, and they're talking business, all right? Everything, all that sort of thing. And then all of a sudden, the young men start to scatter, and then they realize Job's coming. And they shut up. They stand up. Job starts dropping the Word. He's laying out the Word of God. He's giving counsel to people. He's helping those who are blind. He's helping the lame that's hard to walk. He's giving joy to the widow, who's lost her husband. And after he's done speaking, he goes on. Everybody else is like, what's there to say? There's enough to say. It's been said. I can't add to that. Nor can I take away from that. What Job said is true. What does that remind you of? Word of God, right? We can't take away, not supposed to take away from the Word of God, nor can we add to the Word of God. It is what it is. You know why? Because God spoke it. And there is no error. Kind of like reminds me of Titus chapter 1 verse 9. You know? Talking about what? Holding fast the faithful word as you've been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. A gainsayer, somebody's like, what? They're saying things against the Word of God, but when they're confronted with the Word of God, they have no more gainsaying to do. Can't say anything. It's the truth. That was the respect that Job had. And it all comes from the relationship that Job had with God and His Word. You continue on. Verse 23. And they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. Now we look at this, and it's like, I got to mention to you, we talk about doctrinally how this chapter of Job is a picture of Christ, all right? Christ in His glory, and every aspect of that. And then you look at this, you've got to remember that the book of Job also lays out doctrinally what it's going to be like for the nation of Israel to go through the tribulation period, which is still yet future. In the last half of the tribulation period, see, the first half, the first 3.5 years, is this false peace. But the last 3.5 years is literally hell on earth, and there's a famine for 3.5 years. There's no rain for 3.5 years. There's drought, all right? That sort of thing, all right? It'd be nice to have 3.5 days without rain around here. But anyhow, there's no rain for 3.5 years. And so, when Job is talking here, and he talks about, and they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain, it's like people who are going through a drought. They can't wait to hear the Word of God because it's a drought. And in our question after Bible study, and talking about, you know, cold question part of what to do to get ready for a mission trip and what to be reading and stuff like that. It's like when we went to Romania back in 1991, there was such a drought of the Word of God. That's why they say for 2 hours we were late and they were still staying for the Word of God. That's why in Romania, when it was customary that they wouldn't just have one person preach, they'd have two people preach, sometimes three people preach, and one sermon, one church service. Trying to get away with that today in America. All right? People want 20 minutes and done. 20 minutes, man, I'm just getting my introduction done. All right? They were hungry for the Word. There's also doctrinally a picture of what the nation of Israel is going to go through. We start talking about the rain and the latter rain. If you go over to the book of James real quick, James chapter 5, down in verse 7. James chapter 5 and verse 7. Again, this fifth chapter laying out, again, things that are going to be happening in the tribulation period. And again, that's a good study to do sometime, and especially since, you know, it's a rainy day. Study that out, the early and latter rain throughout the Bible in connection with the nation of Israel and this dealing with the tribulation period. But anyhow, in James chapter 5 and verse 7, it says this. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, the gardener, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receives the early and latter rain. That phrase is connected again with the nation of Israel and the Lord coming back at the end of the tribulation period, a period that is 3.5 years of drought and famine and destruction and plagues and so forth, you know, for the Lord to save the nation of Israel from all that. Going into the millennium, they're waiting patiently for the early and latter rain. When Job is talking here, you know, as he's at the city gate, that's the condition of people waiting to hear from him, ready to receive the rain, ready to receive the Word. What about us? Who have you been a witness to this week? Who have you tried to share the truth of the Word of God? People who are going through tough times, times of famine, times of drought spiritually. Have you been the early and latter rains to them? The sad thing is, they're sitting there waiting for you. They're expecting you to be able to say something to help them in their situation. But you don't. A buddy of mine at work. He leaves work Friday morning, technically Saturday morning. Actually Friday, because he left before 12. And all of a sudden he sends me a text and saying, "Now the devil's working on me. I told you the devil's working on me." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And he sends pictures of his truck. He hit a deer. He just had his truck fixed, the grill, because he ran into an owl earlier this year. And it messed up the grill of his truck. And so he had to get it replaced. So now he hit Bambi. Literally hit Bambi. I mean, it was a young deer. I mean, doe, whatever. He's showing the pictures. It's like, oh, man. And so in my loving pastor-type encouraging way, I sent him a text back. And I said, "Man, what's with you taking out the animal kingdom?" And I had this little owl emoji, and I put a little deer emoji on it, and that sort of thing. Of course, he's laughing. But in reality, I mean, he's obviously upset. I mean, he's making changes in his life. You know, he just got married and so forth. And you got to deal with this. He's got, I mean, the bumper's messed up, the grill's messed up again, so... You know, all that, but I sent him a verse. You know, he professed Christianity. His brother did the wedding, officiated the wedding. He was a pastor in Springfield, I think. So it's like, I sent him a reference, you know, sent praying for you, that sort of thing. I mean, you know, trying to give something real to him to help him through this time that's frustrating. Obviously, it's frustrating, right? And it's like, there are opportunities around us. People are going through a drought. What are we doing to give them the water of the Word to quench it? Job 29, to finish up. Verse 24, 25, it says this. If I laughed on them, they believed it not. And the light of my countenance they cast not down. It's almost like, you know, Job is laughing at them. It's like, "Are you really laughing at me?" I mean, that's kind of respect. I mean, they're like, "Are you serious, Job? What's going on here?" Because that's the respect that he had. But the latter part of that verse, in verse 24, it says, "In the light of my countenance they cast not down." Interesting. You go back to verse 3 of this chapter, what does it say? It's talking about when his candle, God's candle, shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. And then down here at the end of this chapter, he says, you know, it says, and the light of my countenance they cast not down. You know why? Because the light of Job's countenance is coming from who? From the Lord. That very light that we talked about way back in verse 3. All right? How he's walking through darkness. By the light that God shined upon him, that he's taking that light, that same light, and he's giving it to others around him, and they respected him, so they're going to cast that down. Job's giving them light. Job's giving them water. Job's giving them the things to help them to be able to walk in a light that is again in this dark world. And it's the same thing that we need to do as Christians. For the people that are around us, we need to give them the water of the Word. We need to give them the light that God has given us. Ephesians 5:8. We were darkness, but now are we light in the Lord. We need to walk as children of light. Be the light. And then, interesting enough, verse 25. I chose out their way. If this ever, again, a picture of Job being a picture of Christ, this is this verse. He's literally saying, I chose out their way. I'm giving them the path to follow. I chose out their way. And set sheep. And dwelt as a king in the army. Spiritual warfare. As one that comforteth the mourners. What's our vision this year? Having comfort in a conflict. And Job's like, I chose out their way. I'm going to battle for them. I'm like a king in the army. I comfort them that were in mourning. You go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, our vision verse for the year. I'd like to take every opportunity that I can as we come through the book of Job to remind us of why we're going through the book of Job. All right, not to lose sight as we are coming past midway August. I mean, we're years on the wind down here. We can't lose track of the vision and the direction that God has given us, and not for just for us to know it, but to do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says this. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The same light that God gave Job, he gave that light to those who were around him. He chose out their way. He showed them the path that they need to walk in according to the truth of the Word of God, and he comforts them. Evaluation time. How are we doing this year in receiving God's comfort in our tribulation? And how are we comforting others through theirs? As Job is kind of reflecting back on the glory years, the glory time in his situation, here's the thing I want to propose to us. That chapter 29 should never be a look back of how great it was. It needs to be something how great it is. No matter the circumstance, no matter the tribulation, no matter what we go through, that we are still ministering the truth and seeking to minister the truth of the Word of God, no matter what. I want to end with one last reference, and we're going to go back to the book of Philippians for this. Philippians chapter 3. Love this book. Philippians chapter 3, and I want you to look down in verse 13 to 14. Because this is what we need to do. Because I look at everything that Job is, especially in what he pictures in this chapter. And again, it reminds me of Paul. Alright? And everything that Paul has done for a dispensation. God's, you know, laying everything out to him and giving it to us. Notice what Paul does. Now, Paul went through some incredible challenges and tribulations. I talked about Paul being like the New Testament Job. I mean, Job experienced a lot of grief, a lot of stuff. But you look at what Paul went through. Man, he went through a whole lot.
whole lot. What does Paul do?
Chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, it says this in Philippians. Let us therefore... Actually, I'm looking at the wrong verse. Again, let me get to 13. I'm reading 15. Verse 13, it says this. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, in this chapter, he's talked about, again, how what he was before being in Christ, and all the great things that he had amassed and attained to, and so forth and so on. But all that was done that he may be able to win Christ. And what does he do? What does he talk about in verse 13? It's the things that are behind, they're behind. I want to press toward the mark. Now, a lot of times we can think about, you know, it's, you know, I want to forget about all the bad things and so forth and so on and use that. But how many people are not doing anything for Christ now, and they were used of God in the past, and they're like Job in 29 in the sense of remember the glory years. I mentioned Romania as an example. There was one of the couples that were on the trip with us for a time when they were still around the church that we came from. We come back, and you know, from Canada to visit and stuff like that. You know, when we talked to this couple, it was always the same thing for the most part. It was like going back, and we were talk about Romania. Romania was great. Awesome time in Romania. Honestly, use it as an example today. But how many times people get stuck in their tracks and never do anything else for the Lord because they remember the glory years? Oh, I remember what it was like for Romania? Oh, it was great. Yeah, it was great. But what are you doing for God now? What's the focus for the future? Are you pressing toward the mark? It's not a matter of putting the bad things in the past. Right? It's not living in the past. Even the good things. I mean, yeah, praise God for those things. But you're still breathing on this planet, and God's got a purpose for you now. He's got something for you in the future. We've got to continue to press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that we win Christ someday at the judgment seat of Christ. That's not going to happen if we're stuck in the past, even in the good things. God has a job for us now. There are people that are dying spiritually now that he wants us to reach. And it's not a matter that we choose out their way, but we show them the choice that they have as they learn and grow in the Word of God. We give them the light. We live our lives in such a way that they would want to listen to us, that they would want to hear the truth of the Word of God. And now, of course, we can't make people believe. But make sure we're not an excuse that people don't want to hear us either. Job 29. All the glory days. Guys, it needs to be our lives, no matter the physical circumstances that are going on, that we're seeking for Job 29 to be a reality in our life every day. That we're helping people. This whole chapter is about Job giving people the truth of the Word of God to help them in their situations. And our whole vision this year is taking God's comfort that He comforts us to be able to turn around and use it to comfort other people. Job 29, literally for us, is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It's Romans 15, 4, that we're taking the truth of the Word of God and giving them comfort. How are we doing this year with this vision? Do we see ourselves in Job 29 in the sense of being able to minister to others? Are we like Job and just remembering, oh yeah, I remember when I used to do a Bible study. Oh, I remember when I used to witness to so-and-so. Oh, I remember when I used to do whatever, X, Y, Z. What's God want you to do now? Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for your word. I thank you and praise you for all that you are, all that you do, all that you teach us. Each week, each chapter in the book of Job, there's so much. There's so much that we don't necessarily understand, to be honest. But what we are able to understand and grab a hold of, Lord, let us do exactly that. Let us apply it. Lord, you choose out our way. Lord, help us to listen to you, to receive receive the water of your word as the early and the latter rain. Lord, let that be a reality in our life. Help us to be able to see what you want us to do. Help us to be able to walk how you want us to walk. Lord, help us through our struggles and trials. I know you will. But Father, let us show you respect and honor and give you glory by taking the very comfort and the very word you give us and be ready to share it with those around us who are in need as well. Let this be a reality in our lives. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.